What the Health with Gabby Allen on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, 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 everybody. Happy Tuesday. I hope you've all had a wonderful start to the week. At least it's not raining today, guys. Welcome back to the show, What the Health, where we discuss all things wellness, baby. And I am Gabby Allen. And today is a very exciting show because I have the pleasure of a co-host joining me for the madness. Lawrence Price, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Gabby. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. So, introduce yourself. What do you do? Where do you come from?
Oh, okay, the stats. I am 40 years old. I have two children. I've been a personal trainer for 17 years. I've conducted over 12,000 in-person coaching sessions. Online workouts have been taken 600,000 times or so.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that kind of...
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, me and Lawrence actually know each other years. Haven't
yeah.
we? Because
yeah.
we used to work together on a fitness app, which we won't mention because it's all about our stuff now. But yeah, we met years ago. We got on really well. So then when we were discussing who do we want to bring in for a co-host, I was like, Lawrence Price. He's sound.
Yes.
He's a legend. And I love your content as well.
Oh, bless you. Thank
so
you,
So thanks for coming in. Okay, so talking about today's show. What we have coming up is a fellow Love Islander. I was on Love Island, if anyone didn't know, back on the day. Antoine... I don't actually say this. Danny Luke, personal trainer and former Love Island contestant. And Jamie Wykes Hobday, founder of Fit Fuck, I would assume that means, joining us to discuss dating and fitness. But first of all, we have Rob Hudson, award-winning nutritionist, and he's going to be talking to me about meal replacement shakes, whether they're at the hype. I want to ask you about tadpole water, whatever the hell that is, and everything in between. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, where have you come from today?
I have come from Clapham via Brighton.
Oh, what?
Brighton via Clapham. Yeah,
oh, okay. Right. I was going to say, I came from Balham as well. Where did you come from, Lawrence? You came from somewhere far in between.
Yeah, well, originally Hampshire, but I was working with a client in Notting Hill this morning.
So. Okay, fine. So it's not too bad.
Hampshire via Notting Hill or Notting Hill via Hampshire?
What? I was like, you came from Hampshire. Isn't that like, I was like, where the hell is Hampshire? Anyway, Rob, talk to me.
Yes.
Have you ever taken Huel? Have you, what do you think about meal replacement Huel? Like shakes like that.
Yeah, those shakes. I think I can see how they might have a place, mm-hmm. you know, for certain situations. There's lots of situations where you could probably fit them in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are training in the morning, you haven't got time to eat and you want something on the way to work, mm-hmm. could be a good replacement breakfast. You know, if you're trying to lose weight, a lot of people have these to help them to lose weight. You know, you could be somebody that's trying to gain weight. But for me, you know, they're still an ultra-processed food, essentially, right?
Yeah.
They're synthetically produced, and nothing's really going to be better than real food.
Mm-hmm.
So I think occasionally, sure, but I think you should really be focusing on food as your first point of call.
Yeah.
It's a bit of an SOS for me. I've got, you know, if I'm going to a service station and I'm on a long drive and I've done a workout in the morning and I'm looking around, I'm seeing the sandwiches and the crisps, I'd be like, no, but I see a bottle of Huel and I'm like, okay, it's... something, I'm going to grab that and I get back in the car and keep moving.
Yeah.
It's my SOS food.
You feel like you're doing something good for yourself rather than just eating shit. Yeah. And also, whenever I do make my own like homemade protein shakes, they always go a little bit manky. You know what I mean? Like when you get them out your bag, they've separated and like, I'm like, so a Huel is a lot more inviting than something that's been in my bag for 3 hours and looks like tap water. No, what is it? Dishwater.
Totally.
Yeah, and I think one of the things as well that I've noticed is they're in with the snacks. So I think a lot of people, these are very different to protein shakes, right? They have more calories. So to be called a meal replacement, you have to have 200 to 400 calories in your product. It has to have 30% of the RDA for all the nutrients,
mm-hmm.
which is why they've got loads of health claims on them, and a good source of protein. So if you are taking this, you think it's a snack alongside your regular food.
Yes.
You know, that's quite a lot of extra energy that you're taking in as well.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's a bit of confusion as to how they're meant to be drunk. You know, people buy them with their meal, you know, their sandwich, whatever they get, and a Huel because they think it's a healthy drink. So you just need to use them in the right way.
Yeah, it depends. If you're on a bulk and you need the extra calories, then yeah, top up your lunch with that.
But it's an expensive way to bulk. I mean, this will cost you £100 a month and you can buy a lot of food for £100 a month.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's very true. I was going to say that, like, it literally, people need to read it as meal replacements. It's like one or the other. Obviously, food first approach would be so much better because you're getting all the nutritional value. But as I know a lot of my friends do drink Huels as their meal replacements because they just don't or can't be asked to make food.
Yeah, I get that. But there are other options. You know, if you pass shops on the high street, you grab a thing of porridge in the morning. Mm. That's ready made. That's pretty nutritious. You know, boiled eggs, you can buy porridge and whatever. I think there's healthier ways to spend your money, but I get it. As convenience, they can be really useful.
There's kind of this ideal state in life, isn't there, where we have the kind of ideal diet that we want to eat, and then we have the messiness of life, and there's this meeting point, this frontier between the two, and sometimes that dials up towards messiness stage, sometimes it dials right back. But if I'm kind of towards the messiness stage, I feel like there are more options than there ever have been to kind of grab something on the go that is a little bit more in alignment with your health and wellness goals, at least.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. But, I don't want people to lose the ability to know how to cook as well.
Mm.
You know, you lose inspiration when you keep buying this stuff and it becomes habit to buy these convenience foods all the time. You kind of can't be bothered to cook anymore. So yeah. The motivation's gone to start with, let alone knowing what to
cook.
Honestly,
that's the day and age we live in. Everyone just wants a quick fix with everything, don't they? It's like, yeah. I don't want to cook, so I'll just pick up a Huel.
But you're eating on your own as well, right? All these convenience foods, these ultra-processed foods, they're designed to be eaten quickly on your own. So, you know, if it's a meal replacement in the afternoon for lunch and you're sat there sipping on a Huel instead of sat with your mates enjoying food.
Mm.
For me, that's another big aspect of food and eating.
So yes, so true.
Let's not lose that.
Can I ask what you said about the health claims that's about them? What do you mean by that?
So in order to get a health claim, so this contributes to XYZ, if your product contains 30% of the RDA, you can say it's high in a certain nutrient and you can add a health claim. If you've got 25 nutrients in your product, all 30%, you could make nearly 100 health claims on that product. So it just adds to this kind of marketing of it's good for you, it's great for you, it might be better than food because it's got XYZ. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's all part of this aspirational marketing of this stuff as well, you know. All you see is healthy people living their best life, drinking these drinks, and it sucks you into it. But, you know, like I said before, never think that this is better than a decent diet.
What's the sweet spot? Is there a percentage mark for meal replacements that you could sort of at least kind of allow and give yourself permission for?
I think it's down to the individual, right? It's all down to the individual. If you've got a balanced diet and you have one of these a couple of times a week, there really is no problem. It's just don't lose the ability or desire or motivation to cook and eat well.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And also, like, the taking the time out and, like, you know, I feel like for you going to the gym or you do go out to your friends or you do walk your dog, there's, like, certain things that you should put into your week that are going to, like, you know, should be staples in there. So that should be, if you know that you struggle to make fresh food every morning, meal prep. Do these things that are going to, like, stop you from essentially spending more money and also eating shitter.
And also slow down a little bit. Like, we're all so fast-paced, right? We're on our phones. Everything's really quick. This is just another opportunity to eat on the go because we eat them on the go, don't we? We're running around, chucking these things down our neck or we're at our desk. And I think it's good for us to sort of slow down a little bit and just, you know, mindfulness, eating is part of that.
It's so true. I saw this TikTok, actually, a few weeks ago, and it was this girl who was like, just slow down everything that you do. When I'm eating, even if I'm actually eating something, I'll be like munching away, watching Instagram, doing this, and I'm like, just fucking slow down. Like, it's not a rush. Like, you can take 10 minutes out of your day to eat your food. It doesn't have to be... Because sometimes, I said this last week, actually, sometimes I look down and I'm like, who's eating me food? Because it hurt me, because I don't remember fucking eating it. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. I'm a massive fan of the mindful eating and just slowing down. And actually, we had an enforced kind of moment where we had to do that as a family a couple of nights ago. We had a power cut for a couple of hours just before the bedtime, when normally the kids would be kind of running around with the iPads and, you know, maybe I'd be on social media, whatever it might be. We had candlelight. We all slowed down. We sat on the floor and we started to kind of mindfully eat our meals together. And, you know, just in that one fell swoop, all technology around us was removed and it automatically dulled us into this healthy state of being. We all went to bed early. We all felt grateful. Yeah. It was amazing.
And it's great then because your kids start talking to you about stuff instead of, you know, being plugged into their appliances. Do you call them appliances?
Yes.
I'm so old.
Yes.
What do you call them?
What are they?
Screens. Just screen time. It's just that screen time.
And actually, it's quite interesting because these drinks as well, you know, it takes 20 minutes to feel that you're full, right?
Yeah.
So when you're eating food, and food that's got fibre, proper food that you have to chew, that starts off your satiety. If you chuck one of these down your neck, you're still going to be hungry. And if you're then looking around for other food to eat on top of it, instead of sitting down, eating a meal, it takes you 10 minutes to eat it, you feel you're full, you know when you're done, I think that's another big aspect of sort of real food that we shouldn't lose.
I completely agree, because yeah. I'm really bad at that.
I always make sure I masticate as much as possible.
Can I just tell you something?
Every meal.
Wait, hang on, what? What? I'm like, wait, this is not that kind of show, Lawrence.
Very careful the way I say that word, but, you know, we've got to chew. We've got to chew, Gabby.
Yeah, okay, fine. Advice Ooh. For me as a person without children.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have like a man-made power cord every week.
Yep.
Turn off the what's that thing? The fucking
fuse board.
Yeah.
Turn off the fuse board once a week and have your caveman dinner.
This is it. I'm going to wander down to the end of the garden with a pickaxe and just hack the power cable once a week. It's good for the soul.
It is, and apparently for family time. I love that. Okay, question. We did discuss this off air, but I was like, right, Rob, do you know anything about tadpole water?
Nothing. You did explain it to me and it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, it did. And you know what it reminds me of? Well, I'll come to that. But basically, tadpole water is water, chia seeds and lemon juice, which sounds, I mean, it doesn't sound terrible, but you know what, when you said the chia seeds are going to expand?
Frog spawn,
yeah. But have you ever had bubble tea?
Yeah.
No, I've seen it.
I feel the same. It's disgusting.
Why would anyone do that? It's basically where, I don't actually know what they do, but it's like these little bowls that pop in your mouth and it's just disgusting.
I think it's like tapioca or something that makes a shell with a ball in. You suck it up the straw, don't you?
Yeah. So what, off your top of your head then, what do you think tadpole water would be beneficial for?
So you're definitely getting fibre because chia seeds are really high in fibre and other nutrients. So that'll swell. I guess it could leave you feeling slightly full. Maybe you have it before you eat. I don't know. Mm. Just sort of make you feel a little bit fuller. I know it's got lemon juice in. I see no reason for that other than give
taste.
It a taste.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it must be weird to drink. Like, really.
I know, I just
nice.
Can't.
Those textures are really odd. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually not like a fussy eater, but when I had bubble tea, I was like, as I said, bleh.
Do you think people are just looking for something a little bit different and extra?
Always.
Because there's, like the same in fitness, you know, there's so many different methods, but the principles are relatively few. But people get a little bit bored. They're looking for that silver bullet and they wander away from the principles and they just start experimenting with all the crazy methods out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the basics of nutrition really hasn't changed that much, but people don't want to do it.
Yeah.
They're so determined to go off plan with anything that's given to them online, on TikTok. And, you know, I saw this stat the other day that only 2% of the information about nutrition on TikTok is actually correct.
Oh, my God.
And this is where most teenagers and Gen Z go for their information. So it's quite scary. And this is where all that stuff, you know, appears. So, yeah, just be wary. Get the basics right.
I completely agree. And it is so hard. Like, even as someone that, you know, it's my job, sometimes I'm like Googling things, being like, I've just seen this on TikTok. And I'm like, is it true? And I'm like tadpole water, what the fuck? Rob, I will say though, your Instagram is giving like information, health, everything. So everybody needs to check out Rob's Instagram. What is it?
Rob Hobson Nutritionist.
Yes, because that is one person to follow that you will get that 2% of accurate information, guys. Thank you so much for coming on today's show, Rob. You've been a legend. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you, my love. Okay, now I want to pick Lawrence Price's brains.
Uh-oh, yeah.
Exercise of the week.
Oh, crikey.
If I had to ask you to give me one exercise that you could do for the rest of your life, your favourite exercise, what would it be?
Easy, dead bugs. Dead bugs. Dead bugs.
I was not expecting you to say that.
So, you know, it's obviously a great core exercise. A lot of people are sat like I am now in that flexed hip position. And, you know, this goes back to where I had a tight iliopsoas and a tight hip flexor, and it impacted my running wasn't quite so good. You know, I developed a stiff back. I just feel like it's one of those exercises that it's a broad brushstroke. It looks after core strength, back health, hip health, etc. It's the one where you lie on your back with your knees above your hips, knees bent at 90, hands over the shoulders. And you're working these diagonal lines, right? So you maintain the integrity of your lower back. Just imagine that you're holding a marshmallow down into the ground. Not trying to squeeze the marshmallow, Gabby, just trying to hold it there. And then as you lower one leg and the opposing shoulder, you're trying to brace your core as much as possible to maintain that lower back position. And it's helping to lengthen and open up the hip flexors whilst engage the core. Really great lower cross postural exercise, which will transfer into your fitness and sporting activities.
Great. I love that. I do love a dead bug, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those exercises that it looks easy when you see somebody doing it, because you look like a dead bug. But actually, when you've just said all those things, there's like, I like to talk to my clients like about recipes for exercises. You know, you need to think about, especially if you're using one leg and the opposite arm, that's like coordination. Mm. Also holding the marshmallow down, also not trying to strain your neck, all these different things. So it's a very good exercise. Oh. I wasn't expecting it though.
No, I mean, and again, it has a kind of Pilates element to it as well. And there's lots of great crossover with, you know, Pilates helping people to rehabilitate backs, going into sport and active environments and so on. So yeah, the dead bug.
The dead bug. I also think, just mentioning all of those things that you've just said, the benefits of it, it's a great one that you can put in before your sessions, because a lot of time that I find, especially like before lower body days, my clients are like, oh, you know, my back was kind of like, I felt it in my back more than my legs to start off with. I'm like, yeah, because your core wasn't activated. So that one alongside maybe doing a few planks, more like core abdominal exercises before you start your big weight sessions.
Totally, I love that, because yeah, so many people are like, we're folded in, we're internally rotating, we're not really active in our in our core tissues, certainly not in those vertical core tissues, and anything that can spark those into life and you get that neuromuscular response that you can translate into all the bigger compound movements.
100%.
Love it, Gabby.
Well, there you go, dead bug, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
Every day of the week. Coming up after this break, I'll be joined by my mate Anton Dionyluk, former Love Island contestant and personal trainer. See you then.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
You're listening to Fubar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores. Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
Access All Areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
And there's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You want to go there?
Yeah, we're going there. Access All Areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off, because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media, as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more from Gabby. This is What The Health.
And we are back in business. So now we are joined by Anton Dionyluk. You're going to have to tell me if I'm saying that wrong. And he's a former Love Island contestant and personal trainer. Hello, Anton, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well, Gabby. How are you?
Did I say that wrong?
No, it's great.
Oh, yoy. So you are joined by me and the fabulous Lawrence Price this morning, Anton.
Hello.
Good morning, so how are you?
Good to see you, buddy.
Okay, so for anyone that doesn't know you, although I feel like everyone probably does know you, I want to ask you a few quick fire questions just to, you know, break the ice, get you into the zone. So, are you ready for it? As quick as you can. Three words to describe yourself.
Loyal, caring, fun.
Yes. Upper or low body day?
Lower.
Oi, oi. I thought you were going to say upper. I was like looking at them shoulders thinking he's definitely going to say upper, yeah. Okay, workout in the morning or evening?
Morning.
Yeah, same. What is your go-to cheat meal?
Sushi.
No, rogue answer that.
Is that even a cheat meal? We've got to call that out. Add to
that. I'm thinking, we're moving to Dubai. What's the sushi like?
Yeah, okay, fair. If you go to, fair. But no, I wouldn't, like, sushi on a hangover. I know that you don't always have to have a cheat meal on a hangover, but I mean, it makes sense.
Magnificent.
Okay, and then lastly, what is your workout anthem?
Oh, anything techno.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Love it. Okay, so I just want to get into the nitty-gritty straight away. Me and Anton was on Love Island, not the same season, but we were both on it.
Yeah.
And he's recently been on it as well, this year. Was it this year?
Yeah, I've done it twice and still haven't found love. Does
that say? Yeah, I mean, we're all doomed. Apart from you, Lawrence, he's married with kids and all that jazz.
Well, can I just say, my wife loves Love Island and she would watch it religiously, and I would walk in the room and I would see you on there just being a lovely human being, and I would just pause and I'd say, he's a lovely man, and just walk back out of the room. So it's great to actually chat to you in person, Anton.
Yeah.
Oh,
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I've met his parents, and that's the reason why he's like the way he is, because they are just so lovely. Your mum's just a legend. Is she there? Bring her in.
Well, she's not here. Did you meet her?
Yeah, in Dubai.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, legend. Okay, right. So did you enjoy Love Island All Stars more than the other one?
No, I hated All Stars, to be honest, Gabby. I felt way too old for that. I felt too mature for it, almost. I couldn't wait to leave. I tried to leave five times, but they wouldn't let me.
Oh, great. And you was with George on there as well. Are you on good terms now?
No. We're not in good terms, but that's just what happens. It's one of these things, isn't it?
Oh, shit. Okay.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay, fine. Okay, moving swiftly onwards. Okay, fine. So, but you did tell me before, because I messaged him before, and I was like, I'm sure you've got something like happening. And then you said that there was a reason that you went on Love Island in the first place. What was that reason?
Yeah, so back in 2016, I was doing kids' summer camps. So kids would come to me between 9 and 3 during the kids' summer holidays, and I would teach them about healthy eating, exercise, team building, etc. So anyway, I got this idea back in 2016 to bring out a kids' exercise DVD, because they were massive at the time.
DVD?
Back in the day. So basically what had ended up happening, I'll try and keep this story as short as possible, I looked up what was the most successful exercise DVD of all time in the UK. Do you know who it was?
What?
Can you guess?
Charlotte
Crosby. Burn Blitz.
Oh my
or whatever
God.
It was. So I was like blown away by this. So we looked up a management company. It turned out it was a company called Bold Management. I got my mum to phone them up to see if they would bring out a kids' exercise DVD with me. And basically what they said is you have to be a somebody to do this. So then I went to Love Island effectively. So that was kind of that's it in a very, very short story.
Oh my God, that's wild though, isn't it?
So basically going back to your question, what then ended up happening was went on the first thing, just with everything that goes on when you come off the show, your attention gets pulled left, right and centre. So now, eventually, six years later from when I went on the first time, I've now created a kids' fitness and wellness app. I've created a full cartoon family of characters, and each member of the family teaches the kid a different philosophy, from personal hygiene to gratitude to dealing with their emotions, nutrition, routines and rituals, and lastly, exercise, of course.
That is amazing. Lawrence, your eyes are going bigger and bigger and bigger.
Unbelievable. First of all, I mean, that is true love. What a wonderful motivation to go on to the programme. So I was right, you are a lovely guy. I was right all along, but that just accentuates it even more. And I love the sound of this.
Yeah, I think it's quite frustrating because when you do go on Love Island, I'm sure Gabby can relate to this, you get known for that literally less than 1% of your life. That's who you are and defined as an individual. And I think a lot of people assume that you go on shows like this to get famous or to whatever it may be. But for me, it wasn't about that. I genuinely just wanted to bring out a kid's exercise. And that was the route to doing it in that day. So I've just went with my journey. The universe has a very interesting way of opening up opportunities for you. And that was my way, I suppose.
Yeah. And also, that you said, oh, you still haven't found love. Well, technically, that wasn't the motive for going on it then. No. So, you know, you've done what you needed to do, honey.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, yeah, the second time, I mean, more so was down the... I genuinely thought I would find someone. Again, dating in the public eye.
It's so true.
It can be difficult dating in the public eye. So I thought everyone would be in the same wavelength.
Yeah.
But it just never happened. So, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, like, you either want to date somebody that's completely off the scene,
yes,
and isn't interested at all and just lets you do your thing, or you want to be with somebody that is completely on the scene, so you are on the same wavelength. I get it,
yes,
but it's just like,
absolutely. Honestly,
it's a minefield out here.
It's hard enough to navigate relationships anyway when it's just the two of you, but if there's a kind of goldfish bowl situation and you've got all these eyes coming on you, does it in some way kind of affect or, you know, manipulate in some way your behavior with each other because you're constantly aware of this bigger picture as well?
Yeah, 100%.
I think for me personally, I always feel like you never know someone's motive, mm-hmm, when you're dating them. So it's always hard because you've instantly got your guards up. It's like, what do they want from me? And you never ever consider they could just think you're good looking and a nice person.
Yeah.
it just doesn't come into your head. You always think it could be something else.
Yeah.
So it is difficult.
What I find is on the classic night out when you speak to somebody and then they're like, oh, have you got Instagram? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to give you my Instagram because I don't want you to like change how you're being with me, because either people go, oh, don't want anything to do with that, see ya, and like walk the other direction, or they're like, oh, so like, why have you got this many followers? And I'm like, I just wish you were talking to me because you actually just want to get to know me rather than...
Totally. Yeah. It's like being at a party and having a conversation with someone that you've just met, but wanting to hold off the question of what do you do and not even ask it, just get to know the person for what they love and what motivates them and what they're inspired by. And that can almost come right at the end. It's the last thing you need to know.
Also, Anton, you need to keep listening for the end of this show, because the next person that we're interviewing actually has a app called FitFuck, which is for people in the fitness industry. I was like, have I not heard of this before? So stay tuned. Anyway, we're moving on because we are actually not a love and relationship show. We want to talk about your 19-pound weight loss. How the hell did you do that?
So this is something that I wanted to do just because when I came off the show the last time, again, you know what it's like. You get out your routine and you end up going to a little bit more events probably than you should. Alcohol's involved. So I just completely went absolutely sober for the 6 weeks, started doing my cardio again, started doing my training. And it's easy enough. I can lose weight so easily when I put my mind to it.
Yeah. But what would you say then to somebody that... So I find the same. If I stop drinking alcohol, then it's because it's a knock-on effect, isn't it? This is actually in one of our listener questions as well. When you drink alcohol, not only do you hold water, but you also have a lack of motivation to train. Your food kind of goes off. Like, I don't want to run when I've been drinking because I might just throw up more easily. So what would you say to somebody, aside from the alcohol side of things, you say that's really easy for you to lose the weight? What would you say to someone that it isn't that easy?
So I think people really struggle is because they feel they have to restrict yourself first and foremost. And I think that they look for the next big thing, and they look at the big weight loss. So they're like, I need to lose 2 stone or I need to lose 3 stone, rather than thinking to themselves, okay, if I lose 2 pounds a week for the next X amount of weeks and celebrate the small wins. I think that that's very important as well, as setting these short-term goals rather than just the long ones. But alongside that as well, it's finding an approach that actually fits your lifestyle. So if you are the type of person that likes sweets and you know you love chocolate, make it fit within your calories and have it. Yes, it's not the ideal thing to do, but if you can keep that up long term, make it fit within your calories, make it fit within your macronutrients, then you're absolutely fine. So that's the approach I use with a lot of my clients, is making sure the plan fits them and not the other way around.
You do that as well, Lawrence, don't you?
Yeah, I love that. I love this whole concept of having a vision of what I call your future best self, or what you want to grow into, if you like. And then between where you currently are and that vision, there's almost a timeline of events, which are small little actions that you make during choice point moments during the day. It's like what meal to have, whether to work out, whether to get your steps in, and just to simply embody and own all those choice point moments in the lead up to actually actualizing that future vision. It doesn't have to be perfect, but if you can make the right decision 80% of the time, then that timeline becomes the path of least resistance in towards actualizing the goal.
What I think as well is we live in a generation where people just want things quick. Like, we want that instant gratification of anything we do. And you're not going to get that with a weight loss journey. You're just not. Mm. Like, after a week, you're not going to see a difference with how you look. Yes, the scales might come down. So if people just held out a little bit longer, you know, once they get past that month point into the 6 weeks to a month point, that's when you really start to notice change. And then once you start to get results, it does become addictive.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's literally what happened with me my whole life. When I was overweight as a kid, I never ever thought that I'd be in a stage now where people actually look up to me for fitness advice and look up to my body and the way I look. But if I'd thought as a kid, oh, I'm going to be this Love Island star that's got this body that's everyone's going to look up to, I would never have started because I wouldn't believe that.
Yeah.
But once you take small steps every single day, you can get to anything that you want to achieve.
I was going to say that, like, you've had such a journey, because when we've talked in the past, you have had a journey. You told me that you was like, maybe a little bit chubbier as a child.
Yeah.
And, you know, had peaks and troughs, as we all have probably.
Yeah.
So what would your biggest piece of fitness advice be to somebody then, like, starting off? Or to your kids back in the day, like, you as a kid, what would you say to yourself?
I would just be consistent. Consistency is key. Just get moving. Don't overthink it. It's like anything in life. If you start thinking about all the obstacles that come in the way, you're never ever going to start. So it's just like, just start doing something positive every day. Make one good habit in place and then build from that. That's what I would say.
I love that.
Absolutely love that. The journey is the goal. And just have this vision of what your future goal is and just embody all the habits and actions that align with that. So if you're ever stuck in a moment and you've got a bit of a funk and you're like, what should I do now? Should I eat this meal or should I, you know, go to the gym or not? And all these decisions come into your mind. Like, what would that future vision, what would that future self do? And often the answers are already within us.
But also, he's already doing it anyway for the kids because he's got the app coming out.
Totally.
It's an app, yeah, isn't it? The Can Do Crew. Yeah.
The Can Do Crew.
I love that. He sent me all these like little emoji things of all the like different, you know, there's a Disney film with like different characters. It's kind of like that vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to make it fun and engaging for the kids so that they start making positive habits every single day. So the good thing about it as well is they gain coins every time they do a positive task within the app, and then the parent can set the reward for them. So they're doing positive things such as their daily exercise, they're eating healthy, they're filling in their daily gratitude, and as they're doing this, they're building up coins, and then their parent will give them a reward at the end of it. But the parent can also set them tasks as well. But just going into this a little bit more, the thing that I love most about this app, which I'm really excited about, is the kid rates how they feel every single day, and the parent gets a notification to let them know how the kid's feeling. So this is very important in our day and age, because I ran a campaign a few years back and it showed kids as young as 7 years old are taking their own lives now, which is mad, seven.
Wow.
So it shows that kids don't know how to deal with their emotions. So if through these characters they feel they can tell the characters how they're feeling, the parent then knows, can bring that conversation up with the kid at the table and then take action and maybe make a difference. So I'm excited. And just to put it out there, it is free. I'm putting it out for free.
Go on, that's amazing.
It's a passion project. I've put a lot of money into it, but it's a passion project. And that's, for me, what Love Island was all about, was gaining a platform to do something in the right way.
That is amazing.
Not to post the Starbucks picture.
Anton, what was the name of the app? Remind me, sorry.
The Can Do Crew. It's actually on the App Store just now. I've just not started promoting it yet. So if anyone wants to go and, you know, try it out, it is there to be tried out for. But there's a few little bits we're tidying up in the back end with the onboarding process, but it is there to try out.
Amazing. I'm going to check that out for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You'll be looking at that on your caveman night.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah.
What I was going to say, Anton, about this, you know what I love about this? Because, I mean, listen, this day and age, kids are on screens. Kids do have phones and stuff. So some people are like, oh, well, that's just encouraging someone to like look at an app or like be on the phone. Listen, we're in the day of AI, so it's just one of those things. Every kid has got a phone up probably past the age of 8. Like, you know, it is just what it is. But what I love about the approach that you've taken, it is literally a 360, like, overview. It's not just about, like, the fitness and the food or whatever. Like, you are trying to get into the minds of these small people and giving them the opportunity to look at wellness, you know what I mean? But from a kid's point of view, not just from us, like, aesthetics or, you know, need to eat much protein, like all that. You're actually, it sounds as if you've actually gone into the brain of a child and been like, what are these things that they need to tick off across the day to make them the best version of themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the hardest thing about creating a child's thing is you've got two barriers. You've got the parent to get through initially to convince them to do something like this for their kids. then you've got the child that wants to enjoy it. So I've had to look at it from two approaches when a parent thinks to themselves, right, why should I get this for my kids? So I've got to look at it from that point. Then I've got to then get past the point of making it fun and engaging for the child, hence why I've created the characters.
Yeah, I love it.
So, I mean, I've been working on this project now. Obviously, the initial idea came about in 2016, but with regards to the characters, I've been working on this for like 6 years. And there's been many times I've been close to giving up. And like I said, there's been a lot of money put into it. And you just sometimes wonder, why am I doing this? Why am I pushing through? But I'm just so passionate about it. And I want to get it out there. And I just think that anyone, you know, if you've got a big enough dream, just go for it. Like, just go for it, see what happens. And, you know, the path will open itself up for you.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I had two things, but I've forgotten one of them. That was it. Have you done your researches and, like, have you spoken to people like you, Lawrence, with kids? You crazy people.
Parents. People with small humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically we had a total trial day about half a year ago where we got the kids in person, we got them using the app, we got the parents going through the onboarding process and what they thought of it as well. But then after that, we had to make some adaptations to it because of the feedback that was given.
Okay.
So now we've got it to a point where I feel it's really, really, it's not perfect, nothing's perfect, but it's very good. It's good enough to get out there.
Yeah, and it's one of them, isn't it, with anything, you know, you just have to start. Like, I put off my own stuff for so long because I'm like, oh, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready. You're never going to be ready. And when you launch it, or it was launched already, but when you start getting, like, you know, you're going to get feedback. You're going to get people using the app. And the more and more people that use it, the more and more feedback you're going to get. But it's just about keeping evolving and keep growing and learning from, not your mistakes, but, you know, trial and error.
100%.
And Sorry.
No, go for it, buddy. Go for it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that you're right, Gabby. Sometimes when you're, especially when you've been working on something for so long, and I think you're like me, a bit of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
But you don't learn anything until you put something out there and you get bad feedback. That's actually what's going to make you improve. And if you look at Amazon, for example, that started off as what, a bookstore basically, or an online book thing. Look at it now. So if you got that far ahead, you probably wouldn't believe that that was going to happen. So you just need to get going sometimes. And the same with your fitness journey, like we spoke about earlier.
It's the action takers, Anton. I respect the action takers. I love it so much. It's one thing to have the vision, but it's another thing to start to create action around it. So, yeah, respect, buddy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Anton, thank you so much for coming on. You've been amazing. I've been dying to talk to you for so long. I've been asking Anton to come on the show for so long, but he needed to get to the point, as we just said, where he wanted to talk about the app. So, thank you. You're a legend.
Thank you, guys.
Have an amazing day, and I'm sure, hopefully, I'll see you very soon in person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while.
I know, it's been a while. Take care, my love. Well, good luck with everything. See you later, babe.
Cheers, Anton. Bye-bye.
Okay, so coming up after this short break, hang on, we're going to be joined by Jamie Wykes-Hobday, founder of FitFuck. See you then.
Fubar Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
What's kind of that one golden thing that you like to share with people who are trying to start a business?
That's a really easy one, because I have a mantra which, you know, I say to young people all the time, and they really get it when I say it. And it goes like, don't undermine who you are by comparing yourself with someone else. It's because we are all different. Why each of us is special.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
What's going on in the DMs? Are you getting naughty pictures from fans? Girls, are you getting the odd little pic? I bet they're popping the DMs.
Yeah, the DMs are doing all right. I've got a lot of cousins, big family, so they're all touching base.
Yeah.
There's a few girls in there as well. I've had some fruity videos come through.
Oh, so, tell us a little bit more.
You
no,
go, you go there.
Yeah, we're going there. Access all areas, mate.
Politics Uncensored.
I felt like it was a little bit, they wanted to go viral. They wanted the clip to end up on socials and be able to go viral, and there was nothing substantive on it. So to be honest, it kind of pissed me off because I thought it was a throwaway comment made for social media as opposed to actually giving voters information they need when they enter the voting booth.
Totally agree. And I also found the whole, I think he said something about Keir Starmer's strings being pulled by senior members of the Labour Party. I found that slightly conspiratorial.
Keeping fitness fun. What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Hello, we are back in the hot seats, and joining me now is Jamie Wakes Hobjay, founder of, I was saying it wrong,
Fit FCK.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, Jamie. He literally just put me in my place, guys. I was like, all right. So tell me then, why is it called Fit FCK?
Because our whole brand is fit as fuck. It's very out there, very clickbait. And when we started this, we wanted to be different from the rest. There was 7 other fitness dating apps when I started. None of them are still going now, and we're still going. And part of that is our brand. It's very out there. And secondly, we've built a really good fitness community of people who want to date, train together, or network.
Okay, wait, I have a couple of questions. First of all, you said that the 7 apps aren't still going, so you're not talking about like the obvious Tinder, Bumble, all those ones?
No, for sure. But we do differentiate ourselves from them.
Oh, okay, so like ones in your kind of calibre.
Yeah.
Right.
Because like on our platform, if you don't go to the gym or if you don't have gym content, like your profile does get deleted.
Oh my God,
like,
savage.
It's super niche, but like at the same time, we're not saying you have to look like Ronnie Coleman or whoever.
Yeah.
We're saying that as long as you're embracing a fitness healthy lifestyle, you're welcome.
Yeah, because then you're going to have something in common with everyone else.
It's like me going on a vegan app. I'm not vegan. It's not going to work.
Yeah. Okay, fair. And then also my second question was, so how many people do you currently have on there? Because does it not turn a little bit like everyone's just shagging everyone?
I mean, on the platform, you can sign up whether you're looking for dating, relationship, training partner, or we actually say casual. Because in my opinion, let's just be honest, so many people go on dating apps for a fling. Like, if you come out of a relationship, I've done it myself, you go on to Tinder, you know, want a bit of fun or whatever. I would say that of the 20,000-ish that we've got on there, I'd say 60 are probably there for relationships and dating, and 40 are there for, like, training.
Okay.
Yeah, training partner, like training with someone of the opposite sex.
I mean, I suppose it is, like, it is kind of hard. Like, I actually took my friend to the gym with me yesterday, and it was made my session so much more fun. It was a female. And we're not sleeping together. But, you know, it did make my experience more, like, fun yesterday. But I don't really have a training partner like that all the time. Do you train on your own?
Yeah, I tend to. I'm just sitting here quietly, kind of out of my depth. It's been, like, over 15 years since I was on the dating scene.
You definitely lift, mate.
Of course, I lift a lot, but don't date so much nowadays. But does it change? I mean, what is it like? So if you go on a date with someone to the gym to work out together, I think that's a great idea, by the way, and I, you know, would love to rewind the clock and give that a go. But how does it change the dynamic of that interaction?
So, I mean, I don't know if you know, but the platform actually started because my girlfriend dumped me because of the gym. Because
she didn't want to go.
Okay. This is payback.
Moons ago, I used to do the bodybuilding shows, like on stage in little pants, orange skin. Not knocking it, I wouldn't do it again. And she came in from a night out when I was on the treadmill. So she came in at 5 a.m. I'm on the treadmill at 5 a.m. and she broke up with me on the treadmill. And then after that, I finished the cardio, which is the main thing. But like, I had like 2 relationships after that, situationships that just failed because I was mad on gym and they weren't. But to answer your question, training with someone is amazing because let's just face it, you're going to try and impress them. You're going to perform well. However, I have actually been on a gym date with a girl before and she squatted more than me.
Oh, okay,
I'm not even joking.
That's sexy though.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It was hot, but like she had like what's called a sleeper build. So she didn't look massively strong. And then when she got on the weights, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Mad.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Although, so, okay. So I went to the gym yesterday with my mate because I feel confident with my mate, but I don't know if I would have the balls to go on a date with, like, for the first time and, like, and not be like, oh, I can't, you know, do anything. When obviously I fucking can.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, you know, I'd be like, in gym faces, you know, like my lifting face. Nobody needs to see that.
I think the gym sounds are worse, though. Like, when you go to gym, yeah, I mean, girls included, some of the grunts I've heard in the gym are, like, shocking. And I've heard people talk, I've been caught talking to myself in the gym before, and it's not the one.
Like, oh, God. Yeah, yeah, same. And also, when you've got your earphones in, like, if they're noise cancellation ones, you don't realise how loud you're being. And then all of a sudden, like, you look around and people are like, you're like, sorry, sorry.
Yeah, someone opened the door for me in that situation in the gym 2 days ago, and I said, thank you! Everyone just turns and looked at me.
You know what? I'd just be glad that you were that grateful.
Oh, I was so grateful. Yes. I was so grateful. Now, I would go at 60%, you know, just so that I could use up that nervous energy,
yeah.
But also just have a bit of movement and, you know, interact with it. The idea of sitting opposite someone and just having a drink and conversation does, I think, I don't know, slightly terrify me on a first date. That's pretty intense environment. I think breaking up and using that nervous energy in the gym sounds great.
I'm new to dating myself. But, like, at least you've got alcohol to, like, make it a bit easier.
I agree, but, like, I've turned 31 on the weekend, which...
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
I've got to the age where I don't really shout about my age anymore. Like, you know how people have their age in the bio? I don't have that now.
How does that feel, Lawrence?
As a 40-year-old man.
You're not 40.
I think it was one of the first things... bless you,
mate,
sir.
I'm not
bless
flattering you.
You,
but no way. I would have said 36.
I'm also 40.
No, you're not. I watched you on TV. I know you're not.
Okay, fine.
But yeah, I think that alcohol... it's got its pros. Obviously, it gives you false confidence and all this and stuff. But I was saying to my mates... since I've turned this age, like, the whole clubbing dating for me now, like, where you're looking to pull girls in the club, is just done. Like, I can't be bothered standing around shuffling in a club, trying to look cool, trying to pull. So I'm not even endorsing it here, I genuinely rather say to a girl, do you want to go for a dinner or do you want to go to the gym?
Yeah.
That'd be way better.
Yeah, fair. Also, you probably just want to see them in the leggings, see what they're...
I mean, it depends what leggings, because, like, some brands are good, but if it's a decent pair, then yeah.
Yeah, fair. Okay, so, but for someone like me, for example, that wouldn't go on a first date to the gym, you do events, don't you? So that's probably a better way to ease in. And then see if you do meet someone there, then maybe you go to the gym with them because you've already met them. So tell us about the events.
So, like, we started off doing... gym dating events, which was literally like speed dating at gym stations with a really well-known gym chain. No promo.
Wait, hang on. So like a circuit?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
It was cool, right? But what we actually did is in January, I won't call him an influencer because he hates it, but a fitness powerlifter called Nathaniel Messiah invested in our company. And he was
His birthday party soon, isn't it? I was having a look and I was like, who's this kid?
He's my goat, man. He's the goat. So he basically invested and he was like, look, I've got a partner. I'm not sure I can do a dating event, but let's do a community event. So I was like, okay, cool. So we did this community event where people of all relationship status could come, lift, and then party in the evening. And I kid you not, the hookup rate and relationship rate after that event was more than the dating event. Because I think people were
less
like...
less pressure.
Yes, and right. Less label. So we do dating events still, but we also do community events, which are great. But the concept is gym in the day, club in the night. Because no clubs really cater for gym people, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so do you just carry on wearing like your gym stuff?
We've had that once. A guy turned up in a stringer, which it was... he looked great, but it wasn't the vibe. But we encourage, you know, smart casual for the night out.
Yeah. I love it. I feel like you just accelerate to kind of level three. As you said earlier, if you meet someone in the club, it doesn't... it's going to take you a few dates to get to know them and to know whether they're into fitness and if it's a big part of your life, and you can go straight to source, straight to the community event. I think it's bloody brilliant.
And also what I found is that, like, I mean, I went on Hinge for a week and deleted it because I was like, yous are all catfishers. If you actually see their pictures, they're like kind of nice, and then you go on their Instagram and they do not look like that.
I'll be real, I've had that before.
Yeah,
I put up like a shredded picture of me and I was bulking.
Someone was you guys. Wait, that's not you.
We went back to my place to have tea and biscuits, of course, and I could see in her face, she was like, they're not the same apps.
Listen, you still got a back that you know that was a win. But what I will say is that when you so the people that have dated, it's like being organically, so I've already met them at an event, or I've been like one guy I met at Glastonbury, or someone I did actually meet at the gym. So you already have, like, if you go to the events, you already know that you have something in common already, rather than when you're like blindly dating on an app like Hinge, for example, you have to go and you're starting from scratch. Like, you don't know any apart from the, and people can tell you things that they like to do, but really, like, you know, they're trying to impress. But actually, if you organically meet somebody, I know that yes, you've gone to an event that is essentially looking to meet people up, but you're doing something because you both want to lift or you both want to train.
That's it, yeah, for sure. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think that we kind of skip the awkward bit.
Yeah.
Which is the worst part of dating. You know, it's like when you want to go up and speak to a girl or a guy or whatever, that's the hardest bit. We break that. And also, a lot of these people see each other on Instagram. So they're like, oh, it's you. Do you know what I mean?
So do you think that it's like literally when all the clubs just shut and we should all just train? I mean, I'm down for that, to be fair.
Totally. There are some clubs that I'm amazed they can call themselves nightclubs still. Just so like dead, not well kept. And I think who knows what the future holds. A nightclub just for gym people could be on the cards.
Oh my God, yes. But do you not think that the clubbing scene now, maybe it's just because we're just older, but whenever I've been, I don't really go clubbing anymore. I go to like bars or, you know, places that you can actually talk rather than being like, sorry, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Like stood listening to like some terrible rap music that you've never heard before.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not a massive fan of rap music in a club. I love rap music in general, but like I can't really dance that well.
Yeah.
I'm a house person.
And like even there's like these Friday night lights run. Have you seen them?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's like, and I'm not dissing here because I know someone will say, oh, we'll just, but like, it's another run club.
Mm.
Like, so we're actually not doing one because there's just so many.
Mm.
And also, like, it's hard to make yourself unique in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, because they're already, run clubs are pretty much dating spots too.
Yeah, yeah.
People date on run clubs, so.
I'm obviously missing a trick here. I need to go to Fit FCK, yeah. And I need to go to some run clubs every now and again.
Back in my day, it was salsa classes. That's cool. Where everyone's that's hooked cool. up, you yeah, know, back yeah. in the day. But I think with fitness, and this is something I've noticed, like just being a personal trainer over the years and training lots of different individuals, you discover a lot of someone's character when they are working out, when they're training. So if that's important to you, and if you're looking for a partner with a certain character, again, it's another way of just getting through all those layers of, and filtering it out and just getting someone's character straight up.
That is true, but when I go to the gym, sometimes I'm one person and then I come out. I'd rather date the person that comes out of the gym, not the person that goes into the gym because I want to kill everybody.
Yeah, totally.
Now, ironically, since the brand's kind of like grown and taken off a bit, like my dating life has never been worse. And the funny thing is it's because it's like I've had interactions with girls that I really like and stuff, but finding out the intentions is really difficult. So like I went on a date last weekend with a girl from Liverpool. She came down to London.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And
it wasn't me.
I got told not to say Scouse, so I said Liverpool. Then basically like I shouldn't say this, she's gonna be watching it.
You delved into it, now you have to tell us.
I'm not gonna say that one, I'll say a different one. A while ago, basically like an influencer like slid into DMs and I was like, oh, okay, this is cool, she's cute and everything. And then I basically found out that she just wanted me to pay her for promotion. Yeah.
I mean, this is the world we live in.
I was like, I mean, yeah. I mean, my backer and like main investor, can I say?
Yeah.
So he's the founder of OnlyFans.
Okay, fine.
So like, I've sometimes spoke to him and been like, you know, what do you think about this? Because maybe it's something he's struggled with. But
yeah,
ever since he invested, that's kind of what like kicked off the brand.
Oh, it went amazing. Like, I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. He's got peas.
Yeah, he's the guy, man. I'm not just promoting him, but he is like the best guy.
So. They did OnlyFans to contact me when they first launched. They wanted to set me up with a profile and give me the blue tick and kind of promote me. And I was like, what is this? It looks like a kind of adult website. And I emailed back saying, have I misunderstood? And they're like, no, you haven't. And I was like, oh, thank you, but I will pass on this kindly. Thanks for the opportunity, but that was many years ago, by the way.
Yeah.
Listen, people make a lot of money from that shit.
Yeah, no judgment, by the way. Yeah.
No, like, I wish I could do it. Once again, I just don't have the balls, and I have a brother that would bury me.
Yeah, no, I've seen the numbers of some creators, and obviously, like, I know what numbers the company's done. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so.
Speaking of numbers, what's the success rate from the app?
In terms of long-standing relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Unconfirmed, but we've actually found sometimes that people meet on our app or at our events and then claim they met organically. Like it's their own love story. And I'm like, I saw you two at our event.
Yeah.
We didn't know each other. And I'm like, at least run me some commission.
Yeah.
But we got asked to go on, was it this morning, like last year?
Yeah.
And they were like, have you got any couples? And the ones that we reached out to, they're like, yeah, we did meet your thing, but we want to kind of like promote it as our own love story. I was like, okay, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon we get like a poster couple that we can say we matched.
There's a little like stigma around it, isn't it? Like nobody actually wants to admit that you met on a dating app,
but yeah.
but yeah. You did.
I mean, so many people do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do you find it hard to get testimonials and that kind of marketing collateral because it is such a personal thing for people?
No, it's weird because obviously app reviews are a big thing for us in getting signups, right? So we're always saying to people who have been to our events or downloaded the app, oh, can you leave us a review? And people do it, like, not even anonymously. So I think people are openly saying that they're dating. But, you know.
I'm going to start using it and leave you a 5-star review.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to start catfishing you.
Yeah. <I mean.
laughs> Thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Worries,
you've been a pleasure. And good luck with it all.
Thank
I hope
so
the it all goes well and you have more success stories.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And I hope your Scouse Bears isn't listening, but if you are, hello.
Oh, God, I screwed it up.
Thank you, babes, for coming on today's show. And Lawrence, thank you so much for co-hosting with me today. You've been a legend. It's like you've been doing it all your life.
Thank you. It's like part of the furniture. I'm literally sticking to the chair.
Literally, no, you've been amazing. And guys, I hope you've enjoyed today's show as well. It's been a good one. We've had a lot of laughs. And remember, if you have missed any previous shows, then you can go and listen back to all of them on all good podcasting platforms. Also, send us your listener questions for next week as well, because we didn't actually get to those today. But in the meantime, have an amazing week, and I'll see you all on the flip side. Lots of love. Goodbye.